days home.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
I want to gaze upon your beauty.
And seek you.
And seek you in this home.
These all the days of my life.
All the days of my life. All the days of my life. I want to gaze upon your beauty. And seek you in this holy place.
Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your unction. As we enter the word now, Lord, we do not enter in presumptuously, but we enter in reverentially, fully conscious of the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom, your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. Consequently, we have a great need for supernatural help and assistance. So we ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak as I should, indeed, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me. Those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, all over the world. That the word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray for mercy, so I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Release the power of your spirit in sufficient measure to follow and back these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and not hearers only. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed individually and said, Amen. This afternoon I have a very, very important message that the Lord has given me to share, particularly in these difficult times that we're living in. And I've entitled it, Overcoming the Perils of the End Time. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, and I am going to read from verses 1 through 5 to begin with. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul writing prophetically to Timothy, who happened to be at that time the bishop or the overseer or the angel of the church at Ephesus. And Paul was writing prophetically about what was going to happen in the end time, and we can see it all around us today. He said, this know also, I didn't hear you, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Turn to your neighbor and say, the perilous times are here. They're not coming, they're here. Because we're in the last of the last days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, that's speaking about homosexuality, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You would think that Paul was living today. Everything Paul has listed here is a characteristic of this generation. Particularly what we call the millennial generation, of whom many have this sense of entitlement. Everything that is written here, self-love, selfishness, self-centeredness, covetousness, this desire to be rich quickly. And there's nothing wrong with the desire to be rich in the things of God, but God wants you to be rich, but not quickly, so that he can take time to develop your character. So he says, he will prosper you even as your soul prospers, so that you can, when the prosperity comes, you will not use it for selfishness and self-centeredness. You will use it for the furtherance of the kingdom of God and the benefit of humanity. Boasters, that's so common these days, pride, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, that is common. Unthankful. They're never grateful. No matter what you do, there's always complaining. They want more. Unholy. Well, without natural affection, I don't have to say much about that. It's all over around us. True speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. You know, people think of themselves more highly than they ought. You know, I was reading the papers just a few days ago. You know, somebody was, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the person. You know, I think he was 47 or something like that. And if you see everything that was written about him, you know, this great something and all of that. I said, is this kid, you know, life has just started. And there are people who've done far, far greater things. You know, it's good to be humble, not high-minded. Then this last one is the thing that lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. One man of God gave a prophecy at the beginning of this year saying that, you know, the sports and all of this had taken away God's day. Because Sunday, you know, instead of going to church, particularly in America, you know, but it's all over, you know, people will, you know, they will go to the stadium to go and watch. But God's taking that away now. You can't go watch a match anymore. So you're stuck at home now, you know, for you to listen to God's word. Praise the Lord. Lovers of pleasures. Entertainment, singing, dancing, you know, sports. And I want to say this. God is not against those things. God loves sports. God loves entertainment. There's nothing wrong with any of these things. In fact, if you read your Bible carefully, you will find the Bible says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. So it's God is not against us having a good time. He's not against sports. He's not against, but he is against putting it above God. That's the problem. We squeeze God out and then put all those things and make those things become our God. What is an idol? In the olden days, idols were, you know, worshipping all these deities. In our land here in Yoruba land, we had all kinds of deities, Shango and Ogun and all kinds of, you know, Shopono and all kinds of terrible, you know, they're actually demons. You know, the Bible says things like Jelson sacrifice, they sacrifice not unto God, but unto devils. You know, but, you know, it's not until you go and fall down before an idol. Anything that takes the place and the time and the affection of God in your life is an idol. Your children can become an idol. Your wife can become an idol. Your husband can become an idol. Your career can become an idol. Your sports can become an idol. Football can become an idol. Golf can become an idol. Is golf wrong? No. Is football wrong? No. Is your wife wrong? No. Is your husband wrong? No. Are your children wrong? No. Should you love them? Yes, but not above God. Priority. And this problem is, you know, has been the problem of the generation. This coronavirus, God didn't bring it. It's the devil who brought it. We just heard God doesn't have a heavenly flu. Amen. For God to give you sickness, you have to seal it first. You know. However, God has allowed it because of these things. These sinful attitudes and lifestyles have opened the door to these great satanic perils and afflictions of the end time. We need to understand it. I preached on this about 2-3 years ago. You know, from the book of, I think it's in Numbers. I don't have that particular bin, but if you can find it, you know, Pastor Boyega, help me look. You know, where it says that if you sin, the land itself will vomit you out. You see, I want us to understand the spiritual mechanics of what is going on with coronavirus in particular and other perils of the end time that are still coming. Again, I don't want to, it's not doom and gloom. You will overcome them. So it's in Leviticus. You know, if you go to Leviticus chapter 18, move up a little bit, where it talks about their sins. 23, 24, let me check the scripture reference myself. Aha, thank you. You know, this is just an example. But, you know, this is characteristic of our day. You know, the people are able, you know, talking about people marrying horses and dogs. Yes, people sleep with animals, have sex with pigs, have sex with dogs, have sex with, you know, it happens. My wife and I were in Canada some years ago, you know, and we went to a particular place, I think it was the border between Canada and the Niagara Falls, you know, between Canada and the United States, and we saw a particular person sleeping, you know, they were with a dog, you know, and they covered the dog, and, you know, you could tell that there was something untoward going between that dog and that person. If I pointed out, I said, "Look, honey, look at that." You know, it was, you know, it was, I hadn't seen anything like that in my life. You know, it goes beyond. You see, there's nothing wrong with loving animals, but there's what the Bible calls inordinate affection. When it goes beyond a particular place, and then the comfort you should get from a human being, from your wife or your husband, you now start looking for it in the dog, or in the cat, or in the you know, pig or whatever. Now, let's look at what the Bible says. It says, "Neither shall thou," I didn't hear you, "lie with any beast, defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is what? Confusion." This is the Creator talking. You know, one thing we need to understand about the Bible is that the Bible is not just Jewish history and a collection of Jewish stories of old Jewish men. It is that. It's a historical account that is accurate. But it's much more than that. It's God's Word. We call it the Manufacturer's Handbook. That's why once every equipment has a manufacturer's instruction. These computers, these pianos, these keyboards, you know, they're computers, you know, and they come with a handbook. There's a particular voltage at which you operate this thing. Yeah, now a guy who makes it either from Japan or wherever it is made from, you know, tells you that please do not operate it above 300, you know, 200 volts or 240 volts. Then you say, don't mind him. You know, he lives in London. I live in Nigeria. You know, I'll put 500 volts there. You will blow the thing up. The manufacturer knows what he put in there to tell you that you should operate at that voltage. Similar, so is life. The manufacturer, God, he knows what he put in when he created us. So if he says, don't do this, if you do it, you will get perils. That is the source of the perils of the end time. It says, it is confusion. Next verse, verse 24. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled which I cast out before you. Hear me, people. The reason why God removed the Canaanites and gave the land to the land of Israel, to the nation of Israel, was because of the wickedness of the people. They were sacrificing their children to foreign gods, which is still being done today in abortion. You know, they were doing all manner of iniquity. You know, homosexuality, adultery, fornication, you know, wickedness, murder, all these things. So God said, I'm casting them out of the land because of their iniquity. He said, but when you come into the land, don't do the same thing they did. Because if you do, I will remove you. And that's exactly what happened in history. Some of the Israelites, not all of them, we had good ones, but we had a lot of bad ones too, you know, who did all kinds of things. And God had to remove them from the land. First of all, in the Assyrian captivity, then secondly, in the Babylonian captivity, you know, finally, in the time of Jesus, when the Romans came with Titus and then dispersed Israel until 1948, when God brought them back to the land. If you do this, says he, I will cast you out. Verse 25. And the land is defiled, therefore do I visit the iniquity upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out their inhabitants. This is the root of the problems we're seeing. The plagues, the earthquakes, the pestilences, and the reason why they have increased in frequency as well as in severity is because iniquity has been abounding. There's always been sin on the earth, but in recent times, it's gone through the roof. When the nation that has on its currency, you know, in God we trust, the nation that was founded on the principles of the founding fathers, you know, based on the Bible, where they say, you know, we the people, you know, consider these truths to be self-evident, that all men were created equal. The very word created means that they acknowledge a creator and have a right to the pursuit of happiness. The American Constitution is based on the Bible. The other day, you know, President Trump declared a national day of fasting and prayer. And I'm sure that's not going to be the only one. There's going to be more during this year, you know, of fasting and prayer. And I went back into the records, you know, from Derek Prince's book, Shaping History of Fast and Prayer. That's exactly what Abraham Lincoln did. And he wasn't the only one. They recognized that God was the one that gave them the land and God that blessed them. And when affliction came, like in the case of Abraham Lincoln through the Civil War, they understood that the root of it was because they had turned away from the God of their fathers. And they had to go back in honesty and repentance for God's hand of mercy and clemency, you know, to turn back upon the land. Here we are again. Here we are again. There's a peril now that is facing the whole earth. Even when we have the technology, even when you have the vaccine and we have the knowledge, we can see now that the rate at which it is going is outstripping the rate at which we can get the solution. God is trying to tell us something. I gave you knowledge of medical science. I gave it to you and I'm helping you. However, you cannot continue to live this kind of lifestyle. Otherwise, things will come against you that even your medical science and your technology will not be able to handle. And we have one right in front of us. This coronavirus. And like I said, I don't mean to be a doom and gloom preacher, and I am not. I'm a preacher of good news. But this is just the beginning. Look at Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to look at verses 7 and 8. Matthew 24. And look at verse 7. Let me actually read from verse 6. Because these things have been happening, but they escalated after 1900. Then we had the World War I from 1914 to 1918. Then we had World War II. Can you believe it, Pastor G? It was just 20 years between the two wars. Man never learns. Just 20 years. 1918. You know, 22 years later, 1940, we were back in another world war. And this one was even much more serious than the first one. Like Winston Churchill said at the end of the war, he said that this war is over. He said, we must not engage in this kind of folly anymore. I'm paraphrasing. He said, because if we do, it may mean the total, you know, annihilation of humanity. And how right he was. His words were prophetic. Because at that time, the atom bomb had just been invented. Only America had it at first, you know. But, you know, very shortly, a few years later, they stole some of the secrets from the Americans. The Soviets, too, now got it. And then they didn't just have... The bomb of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, you know, was an atomic bomb that was made out of fission. The hydrogen bomb is one notch higher. It still uses fission, but it also uses fusion. So because what it does is that, you know, they do a small explosion, then that one fuses the atoms together, the hydrogen atoms and all of that. That's why it's called an H-bomb, you know, so that you have the power of fusion, the same power that's inside the sun. Then on top of that, after the fusion takes place, then the fission also takes place and then scatters it out. Thank God it has never been used. At least not until we go. Man never learns. Man never, it's that sin nature, it's that satanic nature that we inherited from the devil through Adam, through the fall of Adam, that has, you know, followed us down through the ages. That makes man, within 20 years, we didn't learn from World War I. We're in the middle of another war in 1940. And then, out, you know, late 1939, September 1939, you know, right until, you know, August 1945, when the atom bomb was now used, you know, on Japan, and she finally, you know, surrendered. But, folks, it's too dangerous. This sin that we continue in, you know, and God is using these perils to call our attention to the fact that we need God. And that we should not stray. It's not God who brought the perils. What has brought the perils? What the Bible says here. He says, you defile the land. Your sins is what is causing these devilish, terrible afflictions to come upon the earth. Because when you sin, you separate yourself from God. And when you separate yourself from God, you become subject to satanic affliction without any protection. And because iniquity has been abounding, these things, you know, the perils are increasing. They're increasing in frequency. They're increasing in severity. Go back to Matthew chapter. We'll come back here in a minute. Yeah. You will hear of wars. I didn't hear you. And rumors of wars. We saw this. Two world wars. He said, see, you be not troubled. I didn't hear you. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, a lot of people thought that, you know, Hitler was the Antichrist and the world was going to end in world wars. Jesus said, the end is not yet. Even now, the end is not yet. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation. That's still happening as we speak. Look at what's happening in Syria. You know, look at what's happening all over the world in all the different places. All these, you know, racial and national conflicts. You know, we keep seeing them all over the place. You know, look at Sudan, South Sudan, and Sudan. All over, it's all over. You know, there is never a time on the earth where there's peace. There's always one war in one place or the other. Kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, hello, and pestilences, coronavirus, Ebola. And I, you know, again, I'm going to keep saying this, I'm not the prophet of gloom and doom. But you see, if we don't change our lifestyle, more are still coming. But you see, the purpose of this message is to teach God's people how to overcome them. See, the perils of the last time, of the end time, we cannot wish them away. But we can overcome them. Hallelujah. We can live above them. The Bible says, when the enemy shall come in, is it like a flood? The Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Now, the Bible does not say the enemy will not come in. But it gives you the antidote of the enemy coming in, that the Spirit of God will raise a standard against him. Are you listening to me? Pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8. All these are the what? So that's what's happening now. That's what is happening now. All these things we're seeing are a consequence of man's sins that are causing all these geographic, climatic, medical afflictions and perils that are upon the earth. And the bad news on one hand and good news on the other hand is that if man continues in his sinful lifestyle, particularly some of these horrible sins, you know, they're all sin is bad. But Jesus teaches us that there are greater sins. When they delivered Jesus to Pilate, Pilate asked him, "Say, who are you?" He said, "Are you the son of, you know?" He said, "It is as you say, I am." He said, "You know, you're a king then?" He said, "Yes, I am." He said, "But my kingdom is not of this world." Then he said that he that delivered me to you has the greater sin. So you know, by not acting on what you know is right, you sinned, Pilate, but your sin is small compared to the one who delivered it. It tells us that there are levels of sin. You know, adultery is wrong. Fornication is terrible. But homosexuality is unnatural. It's a greater sin. It's all sin, no? And its consequences are worse. Adultery will you get you into trouble. It will injure your body. It will destroy your body. You know, but all these things, abortion, all these terrible things, they're the things that are opening the door for Satan's afflictions to hit the earth. We need to wake up. You know, like one man of God said, he said, if you open the door, you can shut it. You opened it, so you can shut it. Isn't that good news? It's good news. You can decide to say, look, I'm not going to do that anymore. And God help me. I like the message my wife brought earlier on. You know, blind Bartimaeus, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't care where you are in the world. Whether even you're a Christian or you're not a Christian, it doesn't matter. God loves all men. You know, if you're a doctor or you're a nurse and you're on the front lines, one of these, you know, first responders, you know, and you're going out, just say, Lord, have mercy on me. And he will protect you. He will protect you. Amen. And if you're living a sinful lifestyle, you know, I do not preach a condemnation kind of message. I preach a message of reconciliation. All you have to say is, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me change this. I don't want to continue in this kind of sin. If you're in adultery, say, Lord, help me. If you're in fornication, say, Lord, help me. If you're lying, stealing, covetousness, say, Lord, help me. If you're in homosexuality, God, help me. If you're in addiction, God, help me. And he will help you. If you're a teenage person and you got pregnant through some silly thing, don't abort the baby. Go and have the baby and give it up for the adoption. Don't kill the baby. How do you know he's not going to become a Moses tomorrow? How do you know? How do you know? You don't know what plan God has. You did. Yes, you had the sex, but you didn't create the baby. God created the baby. So you have no right to kill it. Have it. If you can't take responsibility for it, give it up. There are people who are looking for children. Good homes. Give it up for adoption. But don't commit abortion. It's a sin. And it's the same thing they did in the Old Testament where they used to sacrifice children to Moloch. And the blood of the innocents is crying out. It's part of this problem we are facing. These are the root causes of all this coronavirus and all of these things. They're not just medical things and all of that. Yes, they are medical. But there is a root spiritual cause. And until we deal with the root, we're going to see more and more of them. That is why the apostle speaks prophetically that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he tells you the reason why for means because. Men shall be lovers of selves more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Without natural affection. Incontinent, fierce, proud, ungrateful. That's the reason. Let's get back to the manufacturer's handbook. And this is nothing. This is just a dress rehearsal. Yes. The message Bible says, yeah, give me it in message. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Give me this in the message. Thank you, mommy. This is nothing compared to what is coming. Like somebody said, he says, If you have not been able to run with footmen, how will you now compete with horses? That's why I'm warning all Christians now. Get strong now. Use this time to start praying in the Spirit. You know, Bible says, you know, building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Stop this play Christianity. The things that are coming are going to require you to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Speaking of this, the book of Daniel says that they that know they are good shall be strong and do exploits. More perils are still on the way. But this message I'm giving you will help you overcome them. No matter what comes, it will not destroy you, it will elevate you. Having established that foundation, I want you to understand that to overcome the perils of the end time, I'm talking about individually now, you will need to learn to how to overcome the power of sin both in the air and in your flesh. Many people don't understand, even born-again Christians, they don't understand the invisible spiritual forces that are behind the things that happen. See, most Christians are trying to stop the acts of sin without overcoming the nature of sin. See, sin is first of all a nature before it is a lifestyle, an act. You see, I before I got born again, let me use my life as an example. I used to drink, smoke, have girlfriends, all that rubbish. You know, when I now got born again, I now noticed that my desire for many of those things left me, and I was able to live above those things. Then the Lord took me to the book of Romans and said, you see, the problem is not what you were doing. The problem was the nature that is inside you. That's why you had to get born again. When you get born again, the sinful nature is removed by the blood of Jesus. Then you become a recipient of the divine nature, what the Bible calls eternal life. That eternal life now gives you the power and the ability to live above sin. You cannot live above sin by trying to change your conduct. You live above sin by changing your nature. I'm going to repeat that. You don't live above sin by trying to change your behavior, by trying to change your lifestyle. No, 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 no. Because there's a root. If you don't get rid of the root, all you do is cut the branches to grow back. It's when you change the nature by the blood of Jesus, receiving eternal life and the power of the Holy Spirit, that will now enable you to change your behavior. But if you try and change your behavior without changing your nature, you're going to get religion, you're going to get hypocrisy, and you're going to get legalism. Man, that is what, sadly, the church has preached. The church has been preaching religion. The church has been preaching legalism. The church has been preaching hypocrisy. That is why people like me, when I was 15 years old, I entered university when I was 15 in 1974, you know, University of Ibadan. For the first 4 years, I didn't become a Christian because I saw the hypocrisy of the Christians. And I said, I'm not going to be like you guys. I remember one guy even telling me, you know, he said to me, he said, oh, we preach to you, you don't listen, you will go to hell. I can never forget that day. And we were all in a taxi together, you know, and when they were preaching, I'd all be laughing at them, saying, oh, all these funny guys, you know. So he said that to me, you know, and I remember getting out of the taxi. That time, taxi still used to enter University of Ibadan. I can still remember it like this, you know, and said, I'm not a Christian yet. I was very angry. I said, I'm not a Christian yet. I was speaking prophetically. I didn't know. I said, I'm not a Christian yet. But I said, if I ever become one, I won't do it the way you guys are doing. And I walked off. And here I am today. Give God the glory. Hallelujah. I'll never do it the way you guys are doing. And I walked off. And I didn't die and I didn't go to hell. Are you listening to me? We've preached it from a completely wrong... It's not changing your behavior, wearing this kind of clothes or not wearing this kind of clothes, wearing a scarf or not wearing a scarf, you know, using lipstick or not using lipstick. All those things are external things. Change the man and every other thing will change. Change the inner nature. And to solve these perils of the end time, that's where we have to go as Christians, where we now use the power of godliness. Everybody say, power of godliness. Say it again. Say it again. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So there is a power of godliness. And that's what I want to zero in as I close. The power, that's how we are going to overcome the perils of the end time. You're going to overcome, everybody say, you will overcome the perils of the end time by the power of godliness. Now let's define our terms. Let's first of all define godliness. Godliness means godlikeness, becoming like God. How do we in what ways do we become like God? We become, watch what I'm about to say. It's very, very technical and it's detailed. So listen carefully. You become like God firstly in nature. That's what happens when you get born again. But you know you can be like God in nature and not become like God in character. So you have a lot of ungodly Christians. They are children of God, but they don't behave like God. Because they don't walk in love. And God is love. I'm going to show you the reason in a minute. Then, not only do you become like God in character, you also now become like God in wisdom. Many Christians are not like God in wisdom. Then not only that, you become like God in ability and power. God can heal. God can strike, deliver. Hallelujah. If you are like God, then you should be able to heal the sick. I shared this recently in church. Whenever we tell the story of the woman with the issue of blood, we always see ourselves as the victim. All Christians see themselves as the woman with the issue of blood. They never see themselves as the Jesus who has the garment. If you are like God, then you are the one from which virtue will flow out to heal the woman with the issue of blood. You will not be the victim of the woman with the issue of blood who is looking for healing. You will be the healer who is giving it out. Now, this concept of godliness, godlikeness, is foreign to the Christian mind, to the traditional Christian mind. When we think of godliness, most Christians just think of being morally upright. Say, that man is a godly man. He doesn't steal, he doesn't tell lies, he's honest. Which is true. But that's just the surface of godliness. True godliness goes beyond being morally upright. In fact, men who are not born again can be morally upright. Yeah, you know, that's why we say, this man, he may not be a Christian, but we say he's a godly man. What do we mean? He's honest. So some unbelievers are even more honest than some Christians. There are some unbelievers I'd rather do business with than people who are so-called born again. Hello, somebody. Because they are born again. I don't deny it. Like Jesus said, I know you are Abraham's seed. I know you are born again, but you're the father, you're of the father, you're of the devil, your father. So you can be born again, have God's nature, but not have God's character. And certainly not have God's wisdom. And certainly not have God's ability. What we're talking about in the Bible study, you know, the morning star, the ability of the mind of Christ. We really haven't yet seen a bunch of people who are really like God. But we're on the way. Hallelujah. You know that's what the world is waiting for? It's waiting for a bunch of Christians who are like God. And you know what they will say when we turn up? They'll say, this is our God. We have waited for him. The whole world now in darkness, they are waiting for us. The whole creation is groaning and waiting, travailing in birth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, or manifestation of Christians who are like God. Is it clear? Now let's dig a little bit deeper into this. Give me the illustration, the first illustration that shows how we are connected to God. When we get born again, I'm going to zero in now on the power. I've talked about what godliness. I'm going to zero in now on the power of godliness and how to overcome it in the flesh and in the air. This is how you're going to overcome the perils of the end time. And like I keep repeating, you know, like the Message Bible said, he said, this is just the beginning. there are so many other perils that are coming. I want to say something. Put the illustration on quickly. Put the illustration of the spirit man connected to the so you know people can understand this power of godliness. But while that is being done, let me share this with you. You know, you need to understand that sin has a consequence. And the consequence of sin is it's very, how shall I put it? So you will not see it sometimes immediately. It takes time. The Bible says when sin is finished, then it brings forth death. The day Adam sinned, God told him, he said, the day you eat of that fruit, he said, you will die. But he didn't die that day. He didn't die that day. It took another 900 years before Adam died. But the death principle was already at work. Are you listening to me? We don't understand. And the other day I was teaching here in church about David and Saul. Saul killed the Gibeonites, a bunch of priests, because he thought that they were, you know, protecting David, which they were not. They were innocent. They didn't know that David was running from Saul. Saul came there and he asked for the sword of Goliath, you know, and then he took the shoe bread and gave it to the guys with him and then went to the wilderness. So they thought he was on the king's business. So when Saul now sent his servants to them, he said, you people were, you know, you were sheltering David. He said, no, we didn't. And they were right. They weren't telling a lie. You know what Saul did? Saul said they should kill the priests. Some of the soldiers couldn't because they feared God. And there was this guy called Doeg, you know, who fell on the priest. Now, what they did, the consequence of it didn't come that day. Saul was dead. This was years later. Maybe 15, 20 years later. There was now a famine in the land for 3 years. When David now went to inquire of the Lord, he said, what is the reason for this famine? He said because of the sin of Saul. Now listen to me and listen to me carefully. What we're experiencing, coronavirus, is not a consequence of the sin of yesterday. It's a consequence of the sins that have been happening in the last 50-100 years. Many of the things, you know, the iniquity has been abounding. I grew up, I was born in 1959, the glorious 50s. Okay? I grew up as a little boy in the 60s. I remember the kind of discipline and the kind of values we grew up with. By the time we got into the 80s, things had changed. Iniquity had abounded. The kind of discipline some of us grew up with, the generation I was coming didn't grow up with. Now, some of those sins of the 1980s, we're just seeing the consequences of them now. Listen to what I'm about to say very carefully. Because that's how sin is. It's very insidious. You know, you don't see the effect immediately. That's why people think, oh, it doesn't matter, nothing happened. Plenty is happening. It's a process. Death is a process. And what is happening is this. Some of the things we're experiencing now, we are the ripples of things that happened 20 years ago. And between that 20 years and now, the sin has been abounding. So it means that there are still some more things in front. Even if everybody repented tonight, which will not happen, because of the free will of man and the stubbornness of man, we're still going to have to deal with the ripple effect of what has already been sown. That is why you must learn now how to overcome the perils of the end time, because you cannot wish them away. What has been sown is still bringing its harvest. That's the thing. Honey, my wife got it and you see, mercy, Lord. Only mercy can triumph over judgment. But mercy is only given when there is honesty. Where there is no honesty, there is no mercy. He that
he that hideth his sin will not prosper. But he that confesses, it's not enough to confess, and forsaketh shall have mercy. You can't just say, God, have mercy on me. You have to confess and forsake with your thoughts and a decision of your will. When God sees that the heart is honest, then mercy begins to work. And even mercy is a process. It's not going to remove everything overnight. But as you continue in righteousness, mercy will continue to abound, triumph, and gradually overcome the thing. Is it clear? That is why we must learn now how to overcome the perils of the end time, because we cannot wish them away. But the good news is that if we continue in God, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. We will overcome it. Like that prophetic word came by one maiden of the handmaid of the Lord. He says, this will not be for your destruction. It will be for your elevation. Watch this. When the floods of Noah came, are you following? It destroyed the world, but it raised up Noah and his ark. But only those who were in the ark. It did not elevate everybody. It only elevated those that were in the ark. Now, look at this illustration. I'll tell you when to move the movie. This is a schematic illustration of our spiritual life, you know, our inner man, and our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. It's schematic, but it's based upon the scripture. You can see that everybody has an individual connection with Jesus, who is the head, as shown in Colossians 2:19. Then you also have a connection with the rest of the body. That's why you cannot live an independent Christian life. That's why you have to have a church, you have to have a pastor, you have to have a place where you fellowship. You know, like now we can't come to church because there's gathering, but we can go online. There is a ministration, there is a nourishment you get from the body. You can't ignore it. You can't say, oh, well, I have God and I can pray by myself. You will not get enough nourishment. And there are certain challenges that will come, your individual nourishment cannot handle it. So you need both. One cannot substitute the other. You know, some people are very strong on corporate prayer, then they don't have individual prayer. That will not work. Others are strong on individual prayer and no corporate prayer. That will not work either. You have to have both to get your full nutrition. Now, look at this. Man is connected to God. When you get born again, you're connected to God. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. The inner man there is shown in yellow. Yellow is symbolic and representative of the life of God. The Bible called it the color of amber. So it's a mixture of red, yellow, orange and yellow. That's why it's not yellow. It's golden yellow. It's, you know, that's a more accurate this thing. You know, and you can see. So when you get born again, what happens is that this life of God is inside your inner man. The black outline there represents the physical body. The white halo around it is the effulgence of the glory of God that actually surrounds every Christian. Although you may not see it, it's always there. Now, watch this. When you are walking with God, it gets brighter. When you're not walking with God as you should, it gets dimmer. That's why in the olden days, you know, the saints were depicted with a halo around them. What happened? You see, it was all these artists. You know, the other time we were in Rome, my wife and I, and you know, during my birthday last year, we went on a cruise. Then we stopped in Rome and went around. You know, you see all the paintings, you know, all the ancient paintings of some of the saints. You see them depicting them with halos. That's what people used to see. They would see the light on them. So those things are real. They're still around. Those halos are just, we don't see it much these days. But we're going to start seeing more of it. It's called the glory. That's what we read in Isaiah, where it says, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen. Now, in the air on the outside, depicted by that black, those black arrows, this is the power of sin in the air. You find this in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, what happens? Now, roll the movie. Roll the movie. Stop. Just for a minute. Stop. For a minute. Stop. You can see those black arrows attacking the mind, which is, you know, the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions. All those little black dots represent the sin nature that is still inside the soul. We need to understand that when we get born again, the spirit is born again, but the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotion is not born again. The flesh is not born again. It still has a sin nature. That's why you have this conflict between God's nature, the divine nature in your spirit, and the sin nature in your soul and in your body. Paul describes this way. He says, the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. They are contrary one to another, so you cannot do what you want to do. That's why Christians sin. That's why Christians do things they shouldn't do. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, is that what I don't want to do, I do. The one I don't want to do is the one I, the what I hate is what I do. What I want to do, I don't do. Is this, this is the reason. Because you're dealing not just with behavioral patterns, you're dealing with a nature. You're dealing with a power. That's why you need the power of godliness. You're not going to overcome it by trying to change your behavior. Or by getting therapy from some psychologist. Or like, you know, all of that will not stand in the light of this power of the air. Or Satan's power in the air and the sin nature in the flesh. You cannot change man by changing his behavior. You can only change him by getting him born again. No wonder Jesus said, he didn't say you can. It's not optional. He said you must be born again. This is not religion. It's reality. Roll the movie. So as you roll the movie, you see that you can see the black arrows is attacking. This is when temptation comes. It's attacking. Now it goes, stop. You can see it's now red. Red means it just indicates that there's danger now. It means the man is now yielding to the sin. You see, before it was coming and it was bouncing off. It was coming and it was bouncing off. It was coming as a, now the red means it's penetrating. He now accepts the lust. He now acts upon it as an act of his will. Now watch this. Roll the movie. Now you can see that black substance. Stop the movie. Has increased because the one in the air has joined the one inside the soul. The one in the air has joined the one inside the mind, the will, the emotions, and inside the body. So you got the two of them working together. So that sin nature now begins to come into the man and block his fellowship with God. And it's illustrated, the illustration will come back on in a few minutes, is illustrated by that black substance that blocks the flow of the life of God from God into that man's inner being. You know, it blocks it so that the life of God, that yellow, that Zoe substance, is no longer flowing. So the inner man starts getting dark. It was light before. It starts getting dark. This is what happens to Christians when, not when they backslide, but when they don't pray. See, when you're no longer in fellowship with God, when your fellowship with God is broken. Thank you. Now, roll the movie. Stop. You can see, because he is sinned now, the sin substance that denoted by the black has started increasing. At this point in time, it's blocking the flow, but not totally. It's blocking about 3/4 of it, 75%. That's why when you sin, be quick to forgive. Be quick to repent. Because if you continue in it, it's going to block you. And when it blocks you, you see what happens. Roll the movie. So it now, the sin substance begins to increase. This is about 50. Now, it begins to increase. Stop. You can see now, it's totally blocked. So the life of God from Jesus, as well as from the rest of the body, is no longer flowing in. Pastor Larry, this will interest you because you're a doctor. You know, It's amazing the parallels between the spiritual and the physical. Do you know that when you cut your body, now don't do that, you know, and blood starts coming, what does the blood do? It clots. Why does it clot? So that you don't lose more blood. What happens is that when there is sin, do you understand? God creates a clot. Or allows a clot to be created. You know why? What is inside you must not go back to the rest of the body. Or it will destroy it. So you are not only separated from God, you're also separated from your brethren. Temporarily. Until you repent. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, if we're dishonest, He said, the word will not work. If we say we don't have it, we have not sinned, He said, it will not work. That, now, watch this. Roll the movie. Now, you can see now that gray representing a darker, you know, begins to look at the inner man. Stop! Look at that inner man that had so much Zoe before. Look at the Zoe level now. How it has reduced. And look at it up. You know, if you go up into the inner man, you can see all of that is now gray. This is a Christian born again, but he is carnal. I could not write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babies in Christ. Whereas there is among you envy and strife and adultery and fornication and all these things. That's why you see these things in the church. They're born again. The Zoe is there. But the measure is so is minimal and it's not having any effect on the soul and the body. So they're still behaving like unbelievers. That's why you have all this pride in the church and all these swellings. Paul used the word swellings, you know, and all this kind of terrible thing. You go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's all in there, you know. So this condition is the condition that is causing, watch this now. Watch what I'm about to say in the context of what I'm preaching. This person now is now vulnerable to the perils of the end time. He's vulnerable. What hits the world can hit him, even though he's a child of God. That's why he needs the power of godliness. Good news. Roll the movie. So you now roll the movie, you know, and this continues. Now, he now is honest. He confesses his sin. Stop! See the blood of Jesus. Stop. Roll the movie back. Roll the movie back. Just you know, a few seconds. No. Rewind. Stop. Okay. Now, he confesses his sins. He's honest about what has happened. He tells God he's sorry. He confesses his sin. So the blood of Jesus comes from Jesus. Now roll the movie. And see, it now removes that. Stop it! That's why Bible says he cleansed from all unrighteousness. Now blood will completely remove that thing. This is what is called righteousness. Right standing. When that block is there, it's unrighteousness. When the blood cleanses, it becomes righteous. That he will cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. This is the condition you must be jealous to maintain so that nothing disturbs your prayer life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it what? Flow the forces. Because once that thing is blocked, there is no avenue for the forces of life to operate. Exactly. He says, treat your wives, you know, honor your wives, you know, as a weaker vessel, so that your prayers will not be hindered. And the same thing for the wife. With the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. It's on both sides. So, because, you see, if you allow sin to fester, both of you become a peril to the... You become God. Satan can now do what he likes with you. Roll the movie. So once the sin is removed, watch this. Now, this is what happens when you pray from life scriptures. Jesus' name, I have life. Father, give life to me. The life begins to increase in the inner man. You can see your... Stop. The Bible calls about the innermost being. Say, everybody say innermost. They say inner man. The innermost one is this one here. at the belly, where your belly button is, you know, where your navel is. You understand? Then the inner man is just the rest of the spirit man. Amen? The pump is in the innermost being. Just like your physical heart pumps blood, your innermost being pumps Zoe. It pumps the life of God. That's what Jesus meant when he told the woman at the well, you know, and he said to him, he said, give me water. He said, you know, where's the water? You know, our fathers and all that. He said, when Messiah comes, he will tell us, he said, I that speaketh unto thee, I am he. He said, if you drink this water, he said, you will thirst again. He said, but if you drink the water I give you, it will become in you a spring of water into everlasting life. Every human spirit that is born again is a pump of everlasting life. Hallelujah. You can go to God anytime. Father, I confess my sins, in Jesus' name I have life. And say, in Jesus' name I have life. You start pumping. And the life of God in you begins to increase again. As roll the movie. As it increases in you, it fills the inner man. Can you see? The inner man is gradually getting filled. It goes up. It goes up. We're going to take the second movie in a minute. It goes up. Can you see? It now goes into the soul. It now begins to affect the soul. And then when you now... Stop the movie! When you now talk, what you say has power. Before, when that thing was gray, what? You're just making noise. So when that thing is gray, the guy just speaking in tongues, he's just making noise. Is when the life is... of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, is when the life has reached a particular level, when you now speak, it will now, is the life that is inside the inner man that now comes out in the words. That's why some Christians would confess, no power. Speak in tongues, no power. You've got to allow the life of God to flow. This is that we have become partakers of the divine nature. You know, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So when you now speak God's word. Now, this is the connection to power. Everybody say, life and power. They're not the same thing. The Greek word for life is Zoe. The Greek word for power is dunamis. That's where we get the English word dynamite. Dynamo, dynamic power, like we read from James chapter 5. Dynamic, you know, working, you know, tremendous power, dynamic in its working. Now, what happens is that when you take the life of God that is inside this human spirit, and you learn to speak God's word, and you begin to pray in the spirit, it's now converted to power. It is power that creates. Now, I don't know if I am allowed to share this with you, but I just throw it out. If you can deal with it, deal with it. If you can't deal with it, just put it on the shelf somewhere. You know that's different between us and angels. All angels have is dunamis. They don't have Zoe. They're not children of God. They're servants of God. They were created with dunamis, but they do not have access to life. That is why we are like God. We have the creative ability. See, I can take Zoe and I can use it to create anything I want. No other being in the universe has that except men. Because men are made in the image and the likeness of God. We are partakers of the divine nature. So when we speak, power comes out of our mouths. When I'm speaking in tongues, I'm not just making noise. Power is coming out of my mouth. When I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Power is coming out of my mouth. When I say, I sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction, you will be delivered. If I say, coronavirus, go. It has an ear. It will leave. Because there is a power that is coming from me that is greater than the power of coronavirus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Are we getting it? This is the power of godliness. It is Zoe converted to dunamis through confession of God's word and praying in tongues and groanings. That is the power of godliness. It is what will give you the power to become like God. You will now become like God in character. You will now become like God. You will now become like God in character. You will now become like God in wisdom. You will now become like God in ability. This is the power of godliness. It is the power of godliness that can overcome the perils of the end time. So all these things that are going on around, we just speak a word. Pam! And it stops. Like Jesus did in the boat. He was sleeping. And creation was in travail. The storm was about to overcome the boat. In fact, the water is already entering. Just like the coronavirus. It has come in. But the Spirit of God is raising a standard against him. And he's going to stop. Then we say, peace! Be still. And there was a great calm. Because the power of godliness has overcome. The power of godliness has overcome the perils of the end time. The thing that overcomes the perils is the power of God. Now, give me the second movie, The Soul, and I'm going to close. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. Now, this is another illustration that gives us a more detailed look into the soul. Roll the movie. Now, this is the life of God that is inside the inner man. Now, this is the soul. Stop. Will, go on. Go on. Roll the movie. Mind, then show the emotions, then stop. Stop. This is the anatomy of the human soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions. You won't find any scripture and verse for this. It's inside the Bible. It's what's called hidden manna. God brought it out through spiritual fathers like E.W. Kenyon. I must give them honor, give them a clap offering. You know, Kenneth Hagin, you know, Brother Copeland, and many others, you know, that God used. You know, you have to go deep into scripture to be able to. He says, the word of God is sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It takes the fine discerning of God's word to be able to see that there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. This what gets born again is the spirit, not the soul. Now, look at this soul. It has the will, it has the mind, and then it has the emotions. It is the emotions that are connected to the physical body by those connections, you know, that are schematically illustrated there. That is why many sicknesses are psychosomatic. See, if there's something wrong in your mind and your feelings, it will affect your body. Depression. And suddenly he starts feeling weak. Hello? Oh, yeah. You know, he fear and his blood pressure goes up. The blood pressure is physical, but the fear is spiritual. It's in the mind. It can affect. The same thing with joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You put joy in the mind and it will affect the body. Are you listening to me? So the mind, the will, and the emotions are in the soul. Now, we're talking about the power. Everybody say, power of godliness will overcome the perils of this end time. So every Christian that develops the power of godliness, you don't have to be afraid you will not be afraid of the perils of the end time. It doesn't matter what comes, you will overcome it. Anything that comes, it may destroy the world, but it will elevate you. Just like Noah's Ark. The water that drowned the world was the same water that raised the ark. The water that is drowning the world is going to be the same water that's going to raise the church. Glory be to God. Roll the movie. Hallelujah. So that's why we need to pray. That yellow now is the life of God. That's why you need to go live scriptures. It's all in all my books. You know, hear the word of God. Pray in tongues. Speak God's word. All of that is what causes this. As the life of God increases. Now, watch this. You can see that soul, that will is like a door. Stop. Stop the movie. You can see that so long as the will is locked, even though there is light in the spirit, it does not affect the mind. This person in this condition does not have the morning star. His understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Roll the movie back. Roll it back. Just a minute. Roll it back. No. Roll it back. You need to pray for those guys up there. Roll it back. Rewind. There you are. Stop. 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 Roll it back and stop. Stop! Stop! Now, you can see there's light there, but the will is locked. So even though there is life in his spirit, it is not affecting his will, his mind, and his emotions. Are you listening to me? Because of the stubbornness. That's what Ephesians 4 that we read earlier on. He says that, you know, being alienated life of God through the ignorance of that is in there because of the hardness of their heart, stubbornness. Pride, stubbornness will block the flow of the life of God from your inner man into your mind and your emotions. That's why you need daily to pray for humility. That's why that first prayer, it's in all my books. We'll roll the books later because there's no time now. You know, after the service, I will let them keep it on the screen for some time. You know, there's that little book, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God. The first prayer of every day is, you know, I choose to fear God. It is a act of your will. God will not humble you. You have to humble yourself. Because if God humbles you, he will have to violate your free will. God may humiliate you, but he will not humble you. You will have to humble yourself. Go and check the scripture. It never says God humble me. It says humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Because it's an act of your will. So he said, I choose to fear God. So I humble myself by submitting to the will of God. Even when I don't feel like it, especially in prayer. Knowing the certainty of his judgment and chastening if I disobey. And the security of his mercy when I obey. So I have more of the humility of the mind of Christ. Pray that prayer daily. So you keep that thing open.
Amen.
Because of the sin nature and the power of the air, the mind, the will always has a tendency to become rebellious. You've got to do it daily as an act of your will. Now, roll the movie. As you keep rolling. You can see now that the life of God now, because it's partially open. Stop it there. Just stop a minute. This is partially submitted. It's not fully submitted, but it's partially submitted. So the life of God can now flow into the mind. So he's getting some light now. He's getting some understanding. He's getting some revelation. I would say that this, in this condition now, you know, this is the holy place where he can see the candlestick that is giving light to the showbread. But if he becomes more submissive and opens the thing more, roll the movie. Ah, totally open. So when he totally, can you see how the life of God, stop. Can you see how the life of God now does enter the entire soul? The will, the mind, the emotions. Everything is now open. This guy has now moved from holy place to most holy place. Shekinah glory. He can now start seeing hidden manna. There's more light now. Whereas before, he could see showbread, but he couldn't see hidden manna. Hello? Not only that, can you see the sin nature? It's just five dots there compared to what it was before. So having therefore these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. What? Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So he by using the word of God, the blood of Jesus, like we showed in the first movie, you know, then the life of God, the word of God, praying in tongues and all of that, you are flushing out the sin nature from the soul and the body. When that happens, when you now pray in tongues and groans, power doesn't just go into your mind, your soul, your will. It goes into your emotions. It enters your physical body. Watch this. Then it goes into the circumstances and into the regional heavenlies. Because the regional heavens are being controlled by principalities and powers. But because of what's coming out of you, you can now push them back. And when you push them back, you can now overcome the perils of the end time. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. That's how you overcome. The power of godliness will overcome the perils of the end time. So all these things, when they come, they're going to elevate you. They are not going to destroy you. But put the power of godliness at work in this manner. Humble yourself. Then let the life of God, the nature of God, then convert it to character through prayer and confession. Pray this prayer also, you know, give me more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle. That's the character of God. Gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. So I'll think, speak, feel, act more like God. Every day. Those are prayers you cannot afford. In this end time, you cannot afford to miss those kind of prayers. Because those are the things that will convert the power, the life of God, to the power of godliness. And it's the power of godliness that will overcome the perils of the end time. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. We're going to close now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glorious things of the unspoken.
Zion city of our God, He whose word cannot be broken, hath formed from His own abode on the rock of ages founded.
None can shake a sure repose with salvation.
Salvation's walls surrounded, we now smile at all our foes.
Just before we sing the next verse, you know, with salvation's walls surrounded. See, when you're surrounded by salvation world, the perils of the end time can't touch you. Then you can smile at all your foes. Because you are formed on the rock of ages. Hallelujah. Let's sing the next verse.
See the streams of living water
springing.
that
pump.
Eternal love,
well supply
thy sons and daughters and all fear of wandering move.
Glory to God.
Who can faint while such a river flows our thirst to assuage, which like the Lord, the giver, never fails from age to age.
Let's sing this verse again.
See the streams of
springing
from
eternal love,
well supply
thy sons and daughters
and all fear of want remove.
Who can faint
while
such a river
overflows
our thirst to assuage,
Lord the giver, never fails from age to age.
The next verse.
Round in habitation covering, see the cloud and fire appear.
Hallelujah!
For a glory and a covering, showing that the Lord is near, thus derived from manna, light by night and shade by day. Ha, glory! Say, they feed upon the manna which he gives them when they're safe.
Okay, this last one.
Jesus Christ, the King.
Glory to God.
Reign and rule. Let your power that comes through Zion,
hallelujah,
fill the earth as waters the sea of the increase of your glory. There shall no be no end evermore.
Hallelujah!
Blessed be the hand of Zion. Glory to the reigning.
Blessed be the head of Zion.
Blessed be the head of Zion.
Put one hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. As we pray, we not only pray for ourselves, we pray for the whole church. We pray for the whole church. And by praying for the church, we're praying for the world. So we're not being selfish. When Jesus was going to pray, he didn't pray for the world. He prayed for the church. He said, I do not pray for the world. He said, but I pray for these and those that will believe on me through their word. Because by blessing the church, automatically the world will be blessed. So we're going to pray for ourselves and the church that we will use the power of godliness to reign over sin, to reign as kings in life, and overcome the perils of the end time. And by overcoming the perils of the end time, we will now save the world. We will now bring blessing to the world. Let us pray. Say, Father, we confess our sins, all the sins of the world that we have mentioned earlier, covetousness, pride, sexual immorality, homosexuality, bestiality, and all other terrible sins. We confess them and we receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. We say in Jesus' name we have life. We receive your life and power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Oh God! Have mercy on us. We pray for ourselves as individuals and we pray for the church collectively. Oh God, have mercy on us. Let us not have a form of godliness denying the power, but rather help us to use by the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to turn your life, the eternal life in us, into the power of godliness to dominate our mind, our will, our emotions, our bodies, our circumstances, and thereby free the world from the perils of this end time. In Jesus' name, amen. Fire! Release power! Nela ma sofrene, mercy Lord. Ramatoska fridigla matoro masha, mercy Lord. Randikatoska frides. Lopridia, randusko fre, mercy Lord. Lombrega glamatolomato glomatolomato fridiska, mercy Lord. Lombrega glamatolomato frido frische, lombrega glamatolomato frische kako, ramatolomato frische. Safreda glamatoloma tu frische, lombrega glamatu frische, lombrega glamatoloma tu frische, romatoloma tu frines. Tolom tu frido frie shengar do fres. Tolom tu fridi kus tu fre. Lombre ke kagam tolom. Tolom tu fridi frise. Lombre ke kagam. Tolom tu fre. Nehia tus ke fres. Lombre de kam tu fres. Tu fridi ngarsk. In Jesus' name. We're going to close the service. Please scroll the books. and all the details on the screen. Let us keep scrolling for another 5-10 minutes so that people can get all the details. All the things I've preached, they're all available in all those books. There's a book on, you know, building Noah's Ark. There's another one we've just written on I am black but comely from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And there are many others, you know, dying to live is all there, you know, and a lot of detail, you know. And so you need to go and study and start practicing. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That is going to be your portion. You will overcome the prayers of the end time. Don't be afraid. You will overcome. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your past. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name.
O house of Israel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever you are in the nations of the world, as one under authority but yet having authority, we declare in the name of Jesus that the Lord will protect every bone and no bone will be broken. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn